The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Bill Nye, the science guy here. Whenever I am listening to the radio, especially Tech Talk Radio, it's just such a party.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
And we are the show that talks about computers,
technology,
and the internet. Thanks for being here.
So, What's going on, Andy?
I missed you last week.
Yeah, I was sick.
You get that same thing I had the week before.
Yeah,
it's nasty.
I don't ever get sick, but I mean, I very rarely get sick. But this hit me, and it hit me hard. And it hit me on a Wednesday. And even by the weekend, I was still feeling bad. I'm actually just yesterday was like I started feeling a little bit better.
Have like the raspy voice, the cough? Still have the raspy voice, but that's from smoking a bunch of cigars.
Yeah, sinus drainage, all that stuff. Yeah. So now it was like, then my wife gets sick.
Oh, no.
You know, and she's just miserable, but she's starting to feel better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just kind of bounced around from my son to me to my wife, you know. So, yeah.
And your son's not even going to school yet. Just wait.
Yeah, he is.
Is he going to school?
Yeah, he's, well, it's a
daycare.
It's a daycare, but it's an early learning center. So they have kids from all ranges, but his particular class is all just, you know, I think it's like 6 months through 18 months.
Right.
And then the next one is 18 months through like, I don't know, 2 year. And then it goes two to 3 year and then 3 to 4 year or something like that.
Well,
and then from there, then they get to go on to preschool and kindergarten and all.
Yeah. I remember, you know, when the kids were going to school and stuff, we were always getting sick because they go to school and other parents send their kids to school sick.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, no, but I mean, the thing is you actually want your kid to be sick, though. You want them to get their immune system built up.
Yeah,
because if you try to protect your children all the time from every little germ, they're going to grow up and be one of those adults that are sick constantly because their immune system never had a chance to develop and to get, you know, powerful.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So, yeah, it sucks that you have to deal with a sick kid a lot growing up initially, but it pays off in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And you know, when women see us men sick and you know, they call us big babies cuz you know, a cold can knock us out. There's science behind that we have not as strong immune system as women.
Well, it's not necessarily as strong as immune system. I think it was more so it's something about it. It's like they call it the man flu or something or whatever. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but like when
it was made you spit my coffee. I got the man flu.
No, there's something about it. But they, you know, women always made fun of men like, oh, men are big babies, you know, once they get sick. But it was something about that. It's something mental and psychological about when guys are sick. You know, maybe they're not as physically sick as a particular, like a woman, for instance, at a particular time. But they act like they're on their deathbed.
Yeah,
because
well,
it's
some,
but it's not just being a wuss. It's something psychological about it. You know, it really is true. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, that's interesting. I guess that makes sense.
It does make sense. Total sense. It's funny because, you know, you're a techie when you tell a buddy of yours, yeah, man, I got a virus. And they say, well, don't you have Norton?
Yeah, yeah.
should try ESET. Yeah.
ESET, yeah. Just pop these two malware bites pills and call me in the morning.
Exactly. That's how you do it. You might need some defragging.
Yeah.
Oh, computer humor. Isn't it great?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we got a really nice tweet from Pete Cole. We're going to say hi to Pete. Pete's in the UK. And Pete sent us a note via Twitter.
G'day, mate. Oh, wait. That's the wrong one. That's Australia.
That's good old Australia, fair dinkum.
You have a good British accent.
when I have it. You know, I
can. What do you mean when you have it? When you start drinking?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Well, go crack a beer. Come on. You got to greet him. And
you know what's really funny about accents is when I would spend time, when my dad was alive and I would spend more time around him, just to give you an idea, he sounded just like Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah.
That's his accent, right? Yeah. And a funny story, I remember going to England one time, and I think I was about maybe 10 or 11, and my mom and dad, we were driving, I think they rented a car, and we were driving, and my dad sees this guy, I'm not kidding you, standing on the corner wearing a bowler hat, you know, one of those big, you know, those nice little British hats, and my dad says, hello, we're trying to find where the turnabout is up here to get to Enfield, right? And the guy, I'm not kidding you, it was like a Monty Python episode. The guy goes, "Roll, right, where you go? He's a And my dad looked at me and says, "Right, thanks." And drives off. And my mom says, "Here, Pete, what'd he say?" My dad says, "I have no idea." Gotta love the Brits.
Whereabouts from the UK or where your family from? Because it almost sounded like your dad's accent was almost like Cockney.
Well, he was from London, from Enfield, which Enfield, is, yeah, and that's, but he got to understand, he was born in Wales. Okay. But my my grandfather was in the Royal Navy, and they basically moved to Enfield. I think they lived there almost their whole life.
Yeah, and it's crazy that the different parts of the UK that have such a diverse accents about them. You can kind of tell. I mean, if you're familiar with the different accents of the UK, you can definitely tell where somebody's from. And I guess it goes to say the same thing about America. You can get a Midwestern accent. You know, getting up there in Wisconsin. You know, having the cheese and you know, going for the supper club up there in Fargo.
You know Broadway. He's just like, you know, he's in Wisconsin. Yeah. He's listening right now.
Yeah. No, my favorite line. I this is not even from a movie, but this is something that I came up with that when I need to get myself into like a Midwestern accent. I always just say the following line. It's like, you know, going up there for supper at the supper club up there in Fargo. And when every time I say that, I can get myself into like a particular accent, you know, or you got the Deep South, you know, the accents from the Deep South or California, you know, dude, like, you know, from like California, bro.
California accents, right?
Yeah.
And let's not even go back to the 80s.
I can't do a New York accent. What is it? How would a New York?
New York, you say. You know, it depends on what part of New York.
Hey, I'm driving here. You talking to me? Okay.
Everybody in New York talks like that, right?
Yeah,
of all course. Of our New York listeners, thank you.
Yeah. But I mean, it's the same thing, I guess, with the UK. You got the different accents, and then you got, you know, like the what's the most famous one? The Geico Gecko. He has a British accent.
Yeah, he does.
He's Cockney, right? Because Cockney like more of like the poor part of it, like
it's more the working class. I think Cockney is, and the thing is, it's just like any other accent.
Sure.
If you hang out with somebody long enough,
you'll pick up
their speaking. Sure. That's what I used to do when I was around my dad, or if my relatives, you know, visit. Now I have relatives on my mom's side that live in England, and if they come to visit. It's funny because they are Indian. I mean, you look at them, they are more Indian looking than I am. You know, they're like, you know, Gandhi looking. Is that wrong? Yeah. Not right to say.
No. You know? I mean, he's a very influential figure.
Yeah.
You think Indian, you might,
but
you know,
dark
picture Gandhi.
I mean, dark Indian, yeah, you know, yeah. And then they have this British accent, which is was always kind of a throw because I always expect them. I had an uncle, but he had a very, very serious Indian accent. You know?
Yeah, see, that's like, cool. Yeah. I was looking at my computer. I wasn't actually looking at Andy on Skype when he did that.
But I have to do the whole head nod.
I almost thought that we were talking to somebody else at that moment when you did that.
Well, let me tell you what to do. Pete over in England said, you have some great radio program, Andy. I found you by accident. I really enjoyed listening from the UK. Need one of those boring flamethrowers. So now you see, he commented on something we were talking about.
Yes.
Take care. Best wishes, Pete. So thank you very much,
awesome.
Pete. We appreciate
Pete.
That. That is that's always nice to hear. But
I didn't mean to insult you when I called you Australian accent, almost, basically.
Good eye, mate.
Oh, wait.
Oh, my gosh. That is
hilarious.
That
should be the title of this week's show.
G'day, mate. I like it. That works. Well, you know, and if anything, when you say g'day, mate, you think of Australia. You think about this social media campaign that they did to get people to visit Australia.
What was that one?
And this is the Dundee movie.
Mm.
It was nothing. It was, you know, it was all an ad.
It was a Super Bowl commercial.
It was a Super Bowl commercial. They started running before the Super Bowl. And at the commercial, it was like the payoff. This is just an ad for Australia. Yeah. It's not a movie. But, you know, there's a big push on the internet to get the people behind that. Paul Hogan, the Australian Tourism Board and all that,
he was in the commercial.
The final commercial, yeah. One shot of him.
Just one quick shot of him, yeah.
But I don't think people knew
he looks
he was.
Wrinkly. Oh, man.
I say, that's the Australian sun for you.
I don't think that guy even has ever put sunscreen on one day in his life. I mean, he looks like a crocodile. I'm not joking.
Could we get Paul Hogan to call in and maybe we can ask him about that?
That's going to be great.
Oh, my God. You know, that movie was so cool. I loved the first
Crocodile Dundee. Was awesome.
But yeah. I didn't like the third one. The second one was okay, but
I don't remember. I don't even remember if I watched the second. I think I watched the second one.
But it was so good because, you know, man out of his element. Here he is in New York. You know, that was the best thing about it.
So real quick, I just want to mention. So speaking of Super Bowl ads and ads in general,
right.
The one ad that we talked about last show, we talked about some of the top ads and stuff in the Super Bowl. The one that's continuously still taking off and becoming this viral meme is the Tide commercial.
Oh, and my God. What a great job they did on that.
Well, you know, and you got to think about it. Just prior to this commercial coming out for Super Bowl, Tide was just kind of in a very negative publicity because of all these stupid idiot kids eating Tide Pods,
right?
Thinking that it's cool. So Tide was kind of like, oh, gosh, what are we going to do? So they created the most brilliant ad. And again, if you haven't seen the Tide ad, it's reminiscent of the old Energizer Bunny ad where it starts out and it says, hey, this is a Tide commercial. And then it looks like it goes on to a different commercial talking about a different product. But then it goes, nope, it's just a Tide ad. And they continue on. They continue on with like three or four different other products.
Right.
At the end of each thing, it goes, nope, it's a Tide ad. And so it's really good. But what's been happening in the internet is especially with like people making gifts. Like I'm on Reddit and there's a particular subreddit called high quality gifts. And so they take, you know, because gifts have been traditionally very low quality images.
Right.
But these guys can take it and make it look like a movie scene. And they take them and they run a GIF or whatever out of it. And at the end of it, they go, nope, Tide ad. And it's kind of becoming one of those like you click on a link and you get Rickrolled, you know, Rick Astley, never going to give you up video. Yeah, it's kind of like that now. People click on something thinking they're going to watch something. And at the end, they go, nope, Tide ad.
Well, if you think about this, how important this is, because let's face it, Yelp is one of those sites where people go and write reviews.
Yeah.
If you ever get a bad review, what you hope is that more people will come and give a good review.
Sure.
Because what it does, just like the internet, it pushes it down.
Yes.
So what Tide has created, though, is they've created the negativity of the Tide Pod campaign, which is just idiotic.
Yeah.
And they created now a new meme to push those out of the way and get those out of there.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Which is great marketing. I mean, it's,
absolutely.
So,
the marketing expert over there. I mean, whoever they hired to be their marketing director. I mean, it's a great. But it's so funny to see these commercials. And it always ends up being the Tide ad. And it was even better is the fact that the guy that is starring in the commercial for it is the sheriff from Stranger Things.
That's correct. Yes, yes.
And it just makes it all that much better. My favorite part of the Tide ad saga, I'm going to call it saga because there's so many of them, is when they do the you know, there's the Old Spice commercial with the black guy sitting on the horse and he's
love
like,
love that.
I'm on a horse. And then as the camera pans out, it shows the sheriff guy, you know, in white jeans. And he's like, nope, Tide ad. And instead of him holding, instead of the black guy holding a Old Spice can, it's a can of Tide. And he's looking at it and he's like, what? Get off my horse. And you know,
they did a really
hilarious.
Good. Well, and that's the best thing. Humor. That's what I look for in the ads. Although once in a while, you know, Budweiser has the ads that make you always tear up, which is, you know. That's they
do.
Do they,
the last couple, yeah, they have come out with some good ones. Again, I really don't like Budweiser as a company or AB InBev, I should say. Mm-hmm. I don't really particularly enjoy the beer.
Well, there goes our beer sponsorship. Thanks, man.
No problem. Anytime. Anybody else you want me to destroy? Anyway, but no, they do make some good commercials, and that's why I always look forward to the Super Bowl, even if I don't care about the teams. It's the ads.
Yeah,
it's the Tide ads.
It is. And they spent, what, $5 million for 30 seconds? That's crazy.
Something like that.
Had to be worth it. But the Tide one was really good. All right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the subject of scams. And this is kind of important because I just bought a car. I just showed you some of that. And, you know,
yeah, that is a sweet looking Ferrari, dude.
Thank you. great. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
No, let's edit that. No, he did not get a Ferrari, folks.
All right, so I buy this car. I had gone to a dealer here in town, and I used the internet. I haven't bought a car in, well, let's see, the last car I bought was 2006, and that was the Chrysler, which I still have.
Okay.
When I wanted to buy the car, I remember I didn't go online. I didn't go to the internet. At the time the net was there, I remember Chrissy, the girl that was doing the morning show with me, had said, oh, I wouldn't buy one of those. You know, they're not really good cars. They're not made here, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, you know, I'm going to go look. I ended up looking and I went to the dealer. That's how you bought a car. This experience has been totally different because even though I took the insurance money from that bad accident, I replaced the engine in the Chrysler, which was the stupidest thing in the world because number one, dropped $5,000 on that engine. Mm-hmm. They did a great job, putting that engine in and getting the car running. But honestly, the car's only worth $3,800.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have the car and there's other things I got to fix on it, but it's cool. I'm going to be able to take a photo once that car rolls over 300,000 miles.
Mm, cool.
That is going to happen. And yeah. It's going to happen pretty soon because I'm at 290,000 right now.
Ooh, wow.
So yeah, okay. the new engine has 108. But the hindsight is I use the internet to find the car that I wanted.
Just one quick question. When you put a new engine in a car, do they roll back the odometer?
No.
Because it's the engine?
The odometer will never roll back. And I wish they did because when I go to sell it, I got to explain, no, here's the paperwork. This engine was put in, so this has this many miles on it.
So ignore the million miles on the odometer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is still kind of cool, but either way, it can be a downside for that. And I asked him about that. He said, no, they can't do that. So the thing is, as I use the internet, and I use several apps. These are the apps I use. TrueCar, Cars.com, and AutoTrader. Mm-hmm. And the first one I was using was TrueCars. And I found a vehicle I really wanted. Even though I had a working vehicle, we decided that to get a third vehicle would be smart. So that way, in case something happens, we always have a vehicle. Because I drive 80 miles a day, 100 miles a day for work. So that way, having another vehicle just as an emergency backup would be nice. And one that I could drive leisurely on the weekends, etc. So I went to TrueCar, found a car I liked, found a dealer, not a big dealer, small, you know, independent dealer. They had a car price of, I think, $1,599 for the vehicle. I went in, test drove it, loved it. But when it came time to get the dealer invoice for the finance company, everything was jacked up $1,500. And I reached out to TrueCar. I reached out to the dealer and they said, no, that's our price. And I said, well, I got a TrueCar. And they go, no, that's our price.
Okay.
So it's like they weren't honoring it. So it's, I don't want to say a bait and switch.
It kind of is.
But it feels like it. I mean, let's face it. You know, who do you address when you run into an issue like that? It's not the app's fault. It's not TrueCar's fault. Mm-hmm. It's up to you and the dealer. But then again, you have to think then when it comes to a deal like that, you have to walk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, seriously. then the next situation is I find another vehicle. I had to go to Scottsdale to get that, and I ended up finding a vehicle. I tried to find one locally and just didn't have the vehicle I wanted, and there was a great the guy over at Valley Auto, Bill, is a phenomenal guy. Mm-hmm. Almost got one from him, but we just didn't have the right vehicle that I wanted, so unfortunately I went there and he was keeping an eye out for me, but I found one and I'm happy with it, and that's good. The only thing is read the reviews first. Now it may have tainted my view on buying the vehicle from this particular dealer. It ended up being a good process. They actually had the vehicle for a week and then delivered the vehicle all the way to the house. It was about 100 miles. They drove out here, dropped it off, and then drove back once it was finally ready. But some of the reviews were just really, you know, really mean. So I'm thinking, how do you determine what is good and what is bad when it comes to the review? But last thing you want to do is be sitting there at night after you've assigned the paperwork, reading the reviews, and they're negative.
Yeah, I mean, I've run into that before. I get something, and then I start reading reviews on the company or the product, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
What did I just do?
Let me ask you, is your tick watch still working? Is it still ticking?
It is still ticking. No, it's actually, I do like the tick watch. The tick watch is an Android Wear.
Yeah.
It's got a few quirks, but you know what? Whatever.
I actually saw it on Best Buy the other day.
Really?
They had it on their app, and it said tick watch. And I thought, that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I made it to
Best
Buy.
And it's best thing about tick watch is it's like, what? You know, I think I paid half the price. I think I paid $179. Nice. For the watch. When you get like a regular, like a Samsung Gear or whatever, or an Apple Watch, I mean, you're looking at $300-$400.
Now, did you read, there were no reviews because it was a new product.
It was a brand new product. Yeah. You just kind of had to, I was in the Kickstarter program for it. So it's kind of like, you know, you just kind of put your faith in the company.
And hope.
Yeah. Took a chance and it paid off. So
how do you determine though, when you go to a review site, what is a good review or not? I mean, is it, if one person leaves a review, but everybody else tags onto it, is that good? Or when you find four reviews that have almost the same wording around the same time of the day?
Well, obviously, you look at that kind of. What I do personally is I look at both. Like if I'm on Amazon, I'll look at the positive reviews and I'll look at the negative reviews to kind of get a big picture,
right?
To see, you know, what could be. Especially, I especially pay attention to the negative reviews because I want to know what made them say something as bad about, you know, the company or about the product, so I don't run into that same thing. Because a lot of times with the good reviews, you know, let's just take Amazon for instance, okay,
right.
with their review system. Just it's easy to just give them as an example. The people that will review stuff on Amazon, sometimes they just give it 5 stars and say good product, and yeah. that's it. It's like so it's yeah, and that 5 stars makes it show up higher, but at the same time, you're not getting information. So I'll read it. I'll look through the different reviews, look for the one that has the most information in the review. Like, well, I particularly enjoyed the, you know, the unboxing of this product and the way they laid it out, and then to plug it in and make it do this and this and this. And that's the kind of review I want. You know,
right.
I like video reviews too, people showing the product in action. But then again, I look at the negative reviews and same thing. If somebody rates it 1 star and puts crap, you know, then why did you call it crap? What's wrong with it? You know, I don't
expound on that.
Yeah. Expand on that. Yeah. So I look at both. And again, then if you go, let's say Google, the Google Play Store and the reviews on apps, again, I look at the good ones and I look at the bad ones, but you're right. If there's a bunch of them that have about the same wording or they have improper grammar, like really bad grammar, and they're all posted by like weird accounts that are like really young, you know, very recently registered Google users,
right.
Most likely they've just bought their way in. They these companies that make these apps, they can buy likes and reviews. Same thing goes for social media, or you know, you want something to be liked or retweeted, you can pay companies that have these huge warehouses full of people in cubicles that all they do is they sit there and they either type in fake reviews for 5 stars, hundreds and hundreds of them a day, or, you know, they're all done automatically by a computer or something. So.
Yeah. So I don't know. Would you say maybe take reviews with a grain of salt, but do your research?
Yeah, absolutely. I would take it with more than a grain of salt. I'd take the whole darn salt shaker. Really. I mean, you really have to pay attention. And again, you're right. Do your own research.
I've also found, and I will go to industry publications. Like say if we're looking at a tech product, I will take a look to see what some of the PC writers that are out there, like Edbot and some of the other ones that are maybe taking a look at products or services once in a while. And I'll read their reviews because I understand, you know, some say Consumer Reports is better when it comes to that because there's no advertising. Mm-hmm. However, I do believe that they do give you an honest assessment of what to expect from a product. I like the user reviews and I like the user videos, like you said, more than anything.
Yeah.
But I also do like to look at the industry ones as well because I think they do help out.
Consumer Reports is definitely a good way to go. I like it because they don't seem to be biased. And again, Consumer Reports, that's a subscription service. So
yeah.
You actually, you know, you pay them and then they'll come out with these I think it's quarterly magazines. I think.
They do them on everything from like antivirus to operating systems to
home
computers.
Appliances.
Yeah. Everything.
Everything. Yeah. So Consumer Reports is a great source if you're really wanting to get down deep and decide, you know, what product to get if you don't want to just listen to what random strangers on the internet have to say. But now the one other thing I want to mention too is you mentioned Yelp.
Yeah. Yes.
And I do not like Yelp because of their business practices.
Yep. And we've heard about them.
And we've talked about them on the show before in the past, but it's become more and more common knowledge that, I mean, and maybe they're not doing it so much anymore, or maybe they've just gotten really good at hiding it. But what they used to do is when you got a business out there that was struggling to, you know, be a, you know, small business trying to make a name for themselves, they get a bad review. Well, then Yelp will contact them and say, hey, if you pay us a couple $100 a month,
isn't that crazy?
We'll make that review go away.
I don't know if I've heard that, but yeah.
No, there's plenty of stories on the internet of businesses claiming that, you know, Yelp has contacted them and said, hey, look, you pay us, we'll put that review towards the bottom. And then the companies will say, no, I don't want to pay you. And they're like, well, if that's the case, then we can't guarantee that review. I mean, it's almost extortion. Like, it's almost like, you know, the mafia coming in and be like, well, you either pay us or, you know, you might find your store will burn down.
New York accent. Look at that.
Yeah, I know, right? Pull that one out of there. No, but no, it's like extortion. And they were extorting people and saying, look, if you don't pay us.
Well, we think, yeah. Got to be careful how we say that.
No, I'm saying this is according to other people, other users on the internet, businesses that have written up proof that, you know, they've caught Yelp in the act based on what they've said. And Yelp has obviously denied all charge, you know, well, all these things.
This is what bothered me about Yelp. So, you know, I have a business that does repair and fix computers and, you know, graphics and the whole bit. And I've done a lot of data recovery and people have been happy with it.
Yeah.
I have, and most of the time, I usually am pretty good price wise. I beat, when it comes to the work, I've always beat Best Buy. I'll be honest with you right there. However, the Geek Squad. So, but I found like I would do work with people and I would say, hey, you know what? Give us a good review on Yelp. Yelp. Yep. Tell your friends. And they would go and write a review and I would see the review, but Yelp wouldn't allow it. They wouldn't post it.
Yeah.
Because I guess I'm not supposed to solicit a review.
Oh, yeah. So then what about all those stickers that you see on the windows of businesses that say, like us on Yelp?
Exactly.
Like, oh, is that all? That's soliciting, right? But yet they allow that. So what's the difference?
So I have one great review, no negatives, but I have three reviews that are pending. And they say they could be posted at any time. Well, I remember once I verified my business and everything, Yelp did reach out to me. And they wanted to know if I wanted to, you know, pay for services. And I told them I would never do that with you, ever, because somebody writes a review, you don't allow it.
Yeah.
And he didn't so much as say, well, if you pay for the service, we'll allow it. He didn't say that. But however,
insinuated,
you know, I never did. So I don't know. It's just, it's kind of a sad thing.
The one thing that really, really grinds my gears when it comes to reviews.
Okay, Peter Griffin.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know what grinds my gears?
Yeah. You know what really grinds my gears? No, it's the people that write an astounding positive review, and yet they rate it one star.
Yeah,
because they don't understand how the rating system works. They're like, oh my God, this is the best app ever. I love it. It's changed my life. Right. It actually saved my life. And then there's one star. Like, if I was the developer, I'd be like, really?
You put it in the hands of the public. That's what happens.
Yeah.
All right, we can take a quick break. We come back. We'll talk a little more about the scam issue. Got a somebody who is going through the process of buying a car. And what she has run into on eBay, and it's something you really got to be careful with. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. You can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater and RiffTracks.com, and you're listening to the greatest show on the planet, Tech Talk Radio.
Gosh, it's not like the internet to go crazy about something small and stupid.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. Thank you for being here. Fun segment talking about cars and, you know, bought a car. But, you know, buying a car can be, like we said, can be pretty easy. Mm-hmm. I think going to the dealer and actually seeing the vehicle is the best way to go. Now, there's a new service out there called Carvana, which
I've not heard of that.
What they do is you go online, you find the vehicle you want, and then you buy it. And they deliver it on the back of a truck. And it'll tell you what area it is. Similar, CarMax does something similar. They're a dealer where they'll actually deliver a car. You can pay a fee, though, depending on where that car is. So you can look for the car that you really want to buy. And it was funny because when it came down to the purchase of my vehicle, I did look on Carvana for a similar vehicle. And I was going through the process of buying it, and somebody else was buying it at the same time.
So oh, really?
I got through the process and boom, it said this car is not available. Just as I was about to finish all of that. So I already had the financing lined up for it. So they're a different kind of service, but I still say seeing the car is one thing. Now, buying it on eBay and Craigslist can be a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a contact of mine that is on Snapchat. And she snapped out a picture this morning, as a matter of fact, of a truck. And it's a truck that she wanted to buy for her dad. She said, I don't know if this deal is too good to be true or if this is real, right? So
what's the old adage?
And I snapped her and I said, what's the story? So she sent me, let me read you the email that she got from this lady regarding the purchase of a truck. Now, I'm trying to see if I could get the truck is a 2001 Silverado 2500 HD for $1,500.
What year?
It's a 2001.
Okay.
All right. The letter that when this girl Anna had said, I'm into this. I really like this vehicle. She said, "Hello again. Currently, I'm in a clinic in Tucson, Arizona." Now, Anna lives out towards Phoenix area. "So having some investigations and analysis." Okay, number one, what does that mean? Number two, "Preparing for my surgery. I have some difficulties hearing, almost deaf, because of a work accident. I am not happy. I have to sell it, but I need the money to cover medical expenses." Okay, how much, number one, and you have to read between the lines when somebody is selling you something sight unseen. Mm-hmm. How much is $1,500 going to go towards medical expenses?
Yeah, exactly. That'll pay for an aspirin.
It says the vehicle is here with me, being in Tucson. It will be transported directly to your home address, and you will have it for 7 days to see how it's working before having to pay for it, before you pay for it. I will take care of the shipping. All you have to do is prove eBay that you have the asking price. The process is made through eBay for both our safety, so all I need to do is start the transaction. Is your full name, address, and phone number so eBay can send you all the info. So
yeah, I'm calling BS.
Because what would happen? She'd get an email that looks like it's from eBay.
Yeah, of course.
And it's not. Anyway, either way, so it just, to me, reeks of it. Mm-hmm. Now, I sent a note to her and I said, okay, so what is the deal? It's in Tucson. You could drive down and see it. She said the lady told her that she can't because she's in this facility. Show her the vehicle because
I don't think there is a vehicle,
and she's not even telling her where the facility is.
Yeah, I don't even think there is a vehicle.
It reeks of scam.
Oh yeah, totally. Part of some of the red lights that go off, or red flags that go off for me is the lady initially expanding upon her medical issues and the reasons why. I don't care. And you're trying to get a sympathy. You're trying to you're trying to garner up sympathy right there by doing that.
Exactly.
And then you're saying that, I'll take care of shipping. Okay, who just generously takes care of shipping a vehicle when you're already only selling it for $1,500? You need the money to, to pay for whatever you need it for. Why are you going to just graciously accept to pay for, maybe what is going to cost maybe $500 to ship something like that on the back of a flatbed truck?
Or I mean, she's less than 100 miles away. The girl could come look at the truck.
Yeah.
I mean, if she's saying, I'll give it to you for 7 days to try, the girl could come look at the truck and make the decision at that point. Instead of having to pay somebody to drive it, drop it, go back, and be out of that truck for 7 days. Yeah. It just, like I said, it just reeks.
Total scam.
Of scam.
# there is no truck.
What is that? Yeah. What is that that saying, if it walks like a duck or something like that?
If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's probably an orange. I don't know, something like that.
Now there are groups that are set up to help you in this case. Now eBay does have a auto division. They also have a fraud division. So more than likely, what I would probably do more than anything is reach out to eBay. And you could Google. Anytime you see something, Google it. See, Google the person's name. Google the particular processes under this deal, and you may be able to really help. Now you can look also. Well, of course, we have the Scam Squad that covers Pima County. Pima County, they do a lot of work with this because a lot of people in the Green Valley area for where we're at are retired. They have expendable income. They've got 401s. They've got retirement plans. And because of that, they get targeted quite a bit.
Yeah.
So what you can do for the Scam Squad, and I'm trying to find the number. They have a Facebook page, Pima County SAV. All right, that's a Sheriff's Auxiliary of Volunteers. Go to them. You'll be able to get the information about the Scam Squad and what they do, and they'll tell you all about it. I mean, just give you an example. They tell you delete suspicious emails, shred documents, hang up on suspicious calls. You got to
Don't ever send money to somebody who calls claiming that that they need money from you for any reason whatsoever. For an investment or that you need to pay them right away or else you're going to get a penalty or a fine. Don't even fall for it. I mean, I was just watching the news this morning. They were talking about scams targeting the elderly.
Yeah.
And it's sad. I mean, these people, they don't quite understand what's going on. They feel like, oh, I need to pay this person for some reason. I don't know why, but I need to pay them. And then they lose their life savings Or worse, they contact their relatives and say, I need money for something. And the relatives give them all their money. And then now the relatives are without money.
Yeah.
You know?
They've done that one, you know, I'm your granddaughter. You know, and let's face it, there's some that I'm your grandnephew. Nobody knows, you know, so again, you got to be really, really, really careful about anything you do that you're connected to. And, you know, I told this girl, I said, you know, honestly, Anna, I'd walk from this. This just, number one, the vehicle's worth more. I mean, it's got a tow hitch on there. The tow hitch
Have you even checked Kelly Blue Book to see what the value of that car would go for?
$144,000 truck like that. That's one of those situations.
How much did you say it was?
It was 1,500, but it had 144,000 miles on it.
Okay, you just said $144,000 truck. I'm sorry.
I meant 144,000 miles.
Who makes this? Rolls Royce?
Speaking of that, I don't know if you've seen this, but anyway.
We're going to talk about your new car, right? Speaking of Rolls Royce?
No. Not that one.
Oh, okay.
The big auto show. Volkswagen showed off one of its new concept roadsters.
Okay.
I'm like, what the heck is Volkswagen? I think of Volkswagen, I think of, you know, they make the Touring? Yeah.
I don't know, something like
they
that.
They got the Beetles and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. This thing looks pretty cool. It's like a roadster.
Okay.
And I'm thinking it's going to be electric. I know that there's some electric vehicles that have been announced. There's another company out there that has just announced an electric vehicle that will compete with the Tesla. That'll go like 0 to 60 in like, 4 seconds, 3 seconds.
Did you see what Cadillac just recently came out with?
No.
Cadillac, they have a commercial for it now. It's a completely hands-free car.
Really?
And the tagline on it, like at the end of the commercial, the tagline is "Eat your heart out, Tesla."
Oh,
but apparently, this Cadillac, this particular model of Cadillac, you can fully let go of the steering wheel and it will keep itself in its lane and slow down, speed up, all that stuff. I don't know if it's an exact autopilot, but they didn't really expand on it too much in the commercial, but you know, shots fired. I mean, shots fired from Cadillac towards Tesla.
Wow.
Trying to take on the big guy, you know?
Well, it's, let me stop this here. There's a Tesla in outer space now. Somebody can go up and get it.
You've heard all the crazy conspiracy theories about that Tesla Roadster?
No, tell me, what is one of them?
One of them is that, that Elon Musk, murdered,
oh my God,
a woman of the night
and put her in the car
and put her in the trunk and launched the car into outer space. So that way nobody will ever know. That was one of the craziest conspiracy theories.
Well, didn't he just broke up with his other half too?
I think they're back together again.
Again?
After the launch, after he got rid of the body.
We're saying that this is just one of the conspiracy theories. I know, this is not fact. Elon, don't sue us.
Yeah, this is just a conspiracy theory. I obviously don't believe it, but when I read it, I'm like, oh my God, people have way too much time on their hands. And I had a friend on Facebook post it, and he was like, well, what do you think about this? I'm like, I think you're crazy. He goes, but it's legit. I mean, not legit. It's legitimate. It could be true. And I'm like, yeah, and so could a lot of other things be true. But
wow. Like, what, you know, I mean, what a great plot for a movie, though.
Oh, I know, right?
I watch too much ID Channel.
Yeah. No, he was also, there's another one talking about how Elon was sending his Roadster to Mars, and then they were working on getting the rocket to be able to take a person to Mars, and he was going to jump on that rocket and be the first person on Mars and just ride around in his Roadster on Mars, in his Tesla Roadster that has since landed on Mars and is just sitting there on Mars.
Wait, I thought it was just orbiting in space. It's actually on the planet?
No. No. They are sending it towards Mars.
Right.
But the thing is it was scheduled that it was supposed to actually enter Mars's orbit, but they made a mistake during the initial firing of the rockets. Once they got into space and they had to make those adjustments, I forget the actual term. I should know this because I've played Kerbal Space Program before, but they sent the rocket a little bit too far out, and the trajectory now has it shooting past Mars.
So it'll be on Jupiter or Saturn, driving around the rings.
It's going to shoot past Mars, but it will still be able to stay within its magnetic field, and it will actually come back, and eventually, I think they said it'll eventually come back and pass Earth again. So it's in a very wide orbit that's going to be going like a figure eight around Mars and Earth, I guess. I'm
just
not exactly
my luck.
Sure.
My great-grandkids will have a Tesla land on them.
Yeah. They'll be getting their telescopes out and looking in the sky, and all of a sudden there's a roadster floating through the sky. They're like, what is that?
Oh,
aliens?
You know, people can't even merge at Ruthrof in the I-10, let alone they're going to have one try and land on Mars.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, man. That is crazy. Well, all right. So be very careful of the scams.
Yes.
They're out there. Do your research, and do your research when it comes to your vehicle, too. If you're thinking about buying a brand new Chrysler and you've heard things about it, then look it up. You know, do the stories, read Consumer Reports, read the other magazines that are out there. I mean, all of this stuff, you used to have to go buy a magazine, or you go to a car club and you talk to them. Now's an opportunity for you to use the internet, because
yeah,
there's so
forums.
Much stuff out there.
Go on to forums. You know, that's exactly what happened with me when I was looking, when I got my my
Jaguar?
Ford Explorer.
Oh.
No. When I got my Ford Explorer this last, year and a half ago or whatever.
Right.
I was considering getting a Jeep Grand Cherokee instead of the Ford Explorer, and I decided to do some research between them because they are very similar vehicles. Turns out the one that what really turned me off on the Jeep was the fact that I've heard a lot of different forums that say that Jeeps break down a lot and they will need a lot of maintenance.
Yeah,
that they'll need a lot of maintenance. They're great cars to have for the first 5 or 10 years, and after that, you're going to wish you never had one, apparently. That's what one person said on the internet.
Right.
So, again, I'm reading all these reviews, and I'm thinking, okay, well, it seems to be a common theme that these cars need a lot of maintenance. And you really don't hear that about the Fords.
Right.
I mean, sure, there's little minor things here and there, but that's why I ended up choosing the Ford over the Jeep, was because of the reviews, because of the information that I found on the internet.
Your cost down the line would have been a little higher. I wanted to get one of those Wrangler Jeeps, those real nice ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the same thing, and I found out, no, it's not going to be good. Mm. And now, have you heard of Aspark? A-S-P-A-R-K?
Whoa.
Aspark. What? Is that a bad word?
No.
It's Japanese.
The way you said it, I'm not even going to repeat it.
Aspark. Aspark.
Where you park your
All
blank.
Right. I don't know if you've heard.
No, okay. I've not heard of this.
They're a Japanese automaker.
Aspark.
Aspark.
A-S-P-A-R-K.
Right? You scared me because maybe that's a bad word in the Japanese language.
No. I think it's pronounced a spark.
A spark.
Okay. Not Aspark. I'm just saying, I think it's called a spark.
A spark, okay.
Yeah.
They're a Japanese.
The spark owl, right?
Yeah, it's called the owl. This is one of the big competitors to Tesla, since we were talking about them. 0-60, 1.9 seconds. So it was off by a bit.
Oh, man.
Tesla had the record of 2.3. Now, I don't know why you'd want to leave a light that fast.
I think now it's just, There's no logical reason that you need a car that goes that fast, that quick. I mean, you're not an F1 racer. It's just more about who can do what now.
Well, I watched the new Top Gear, which is what? What is that show?
No, it's called the Grand Tour.
The Grand Tour. I watched the Grand Tour.
Yeah.
And they were doing electric cars. It was an electric car versus two gas-powered cars.
You saw the episode. That's the one that Richard Hammond almost killed himself in.
I never saw that accident scene.
That's the very end of it.
Oh, I missed the very end of it.
Oh, God.
But I did see him taking off in that electric car, and they were like blown away, like, whoa, how is this possible?
Fast. Yeah, and that one, that particular, I don't remember what the manufacturer is, but I almost said Czechoslovakian. That's not even a country anymore. It's a Czech manufacturer that made that car.
Wow, amazing stuff. Yeah, but it's going to go for $4.4 million. I'm going to start a GoFundMe right now.
A Spark Owl?
The Aspark.
You will be parking your blank in that thing when you're going 1.9 seconds to reach 0-60. Your blank is going to be parked in that seat.
Oh my gosh. $4.4 million. That's crazy.
Ridiculous. It looks like the Batmobile.
It looks pretty cool. And that's why I say, take a look if you can. And for all of our listeners that are in front of the computer, do a search for the VW Roadster. The concept car, I think you're going to be pretty impressed by it, because it's got a nice look to it. You know, with the big auto show, they bring out all the bells and whistles. They show some of the stuff. Isn't that amazing?
Wow, that looks like a
Batmobile.
Well, a cross between like a Bugatti and I don't know, Axiom.
Yeah,
maybe Ariel Axiom.
It's pretty amazing. So again, something else to check out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more tech on Tech Talk Radio. You can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com.
And also on Facebook, facebook.com/techtalkers. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com, and you got then that, you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
Big week, everybody talking about the Samsung.
Samsung, yep, the new Galaxy S9 was just announced, and... Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, it's really funny because, you know, I'm running the iPhone 6S.
Okay.
And I actually went into a Verizon store, because that's who I have the carrier with. And I was like, you know, my phone's all busted up and everything. And then he said, the salesman said, you have insurance on that? And I said, yeah. And he goes, why don't you just get it fixed? And I said, well, I don't want to spend $200 on it. He goes, no, if you have insurance, depending on your insurance, he said, you should be able to get it fixed pretty cheap. And I guess you can do that. So you got to look over your insurance policy.
Yeah, I mean, usually you just have to pay the deductible.
Yes, well, not even that, because my deductible is $200. So he said, I think he said it's something like maybe $69, $79. Don't quote me on that. But so suddenly I didn't want the phone, a new phone, because I looked at the 10, and I don't think I need the iPhone 10. I really don't. Yeah. Then I looked at the iPhone 8 Plus, and I thought, okay, maybe that's the one I'll get. But then I thought about it. I thought, geez, do I really want to spend the money right now? So I kind of held off. I said, I'll wait.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like a week later, we get this word that Galaxy or Samsung was going to be coming out with a new device with the S9, and that's now been officially announced.
Yeah. And kind of looking over the specs of it, it's interesting. It looks like the biggest change they made, they got a improved camera.
Mm-hmm.
And
how much better can you improve on that though?
I don't know.
Their camera I didn't like the camera on the Pixel. I always thought Samsung. Yeah, I had the Google Pixel, the forward camera, didn't like.
The Pixel, they say, is the most powerful camera out there.
I don't know. I tend to like the Samsung Galaxy S8 Active that I was using that AT&T had sent us. And I love the camera on that. I just thought it was quick, it was responsive, bright colors, really looked, had a nice look to it. But so I'm hoping that the 9 is going to be better, though.
Huh. Well, let's see. So I don't see where the camera... I'm trying to look at here at the actual camera.
Yeah. Just announced.
They say this phone will reimagine the camera.
Well, it has a big word.
Yeah, I know. Only features a single lens on the rear of the phone. Right. But they said they have packed in lots of improvements. There's a 12-megapixel rear sensor with optical image stabilization.
Right.
And
what that means for our listeners who don't know, that if you're taking video and you're taking a nice video and it's like kind of shaky, you know, this will stabilize that.
Yeah.
Smooth it up.
It says here one of the biggest updates is the new dual aperture technology with the camera automatically adjusting the aperture depending on the scene you're shooting, much like how the human eye adapts to changing light. So that's a big one. But everybody seems to be talking about the one thing that got changed with it, and they're loving it, apparently, they moved the fingerprint sensor.
Thank God.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your new $900 phone. They moved the fingerprint sensor. Apparently, in the S8, the fingerprint sensor is to the left of the camera on the rear, which I guess makes it a little bit odd or awkward for you to you know, use the fingerprint sensor. They moved it now to below the camera, which makes it more natural movement when you put your finger when you grab the phone.
Part of the problem, too, was because I had the S8 active and the S8 to test, is when I would go to use the fingerprint scanner, my finger would touch the lens.
Yeah.
Because you don't look on the back. You don't look on the back of the camera. So you just grab what is back there?
Yep.
And you end up smudging the lens.
Yeah.
So this is a kind of a good idea. I still see people putting their big old fat fingers on the lens themselves, but you know, like me.
Yeah, sure. But
hey, there's peanut butter in your picture.
But so let's talk. We're here. The release date apparently
next month.
Pre-orders are open now in Europe. March 1st for pre-orders in the U.S., and it says it's got a set release date of March 16th.
Oh, and they still have a headphone jack.
And it still has the headphone jack.
Right.
Now, for price, looks like it's...
Yeah, I saw some of the data on that.
It's in the UK. It's going to be 739 pounds. Right. Is that pounds or euros? That's euros.
Yeah.
Let's see. And if Australia, you're going to find it for $1,300 Australian dollar.
Wow.
I think their dollar is a little bit weaker than the rest. So that's why it says it's higher. But there was something you mentioned. It says that if you have Verizon or AT&T,
you're going to pay more.
US, you're going to pay up to $900 for the phone.
Yeah, apparently they said the cost is going to be a little heavier. There will be a plus version of the S9, which is kind of nice.
Okay,
but it will go up. I don't know why they're charging more for that.
Probably because they can.
But for Verizon and AT&T, it's going to be considerably a little higher, almost by about $200.
That's so crazy.
I don't know. I want to get a new phone. But I always recommend to people, when it comes to technology, don't be the first.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to say you're the beta tester. Obviously, they've tested it out. But what have we seen from Samsung in the past? We've seen some problems. We've seen some issues. Mm-hmm. So I would say don't be the first. Give it at least 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
Because you're going to hear a lot of reviews, hear from people's experiences once it gets in their hands. Then you could make a decision not based on impulse, but based on, okay, this is the next device I want to have.
Because based on your research, yeah.
There may be people at this point, the iPhone 8 came out, the iPhone 10, and maybe there were some people I know that were taking their iPhone 10s back mm-hmm. and switching back down to the iPhone 8 that might say, you know what, time for me to check out Android.
Yeah.
Time for me to go this way. And I got to say, I love the Android experience. I have an iPhone, but I also have an Android that I use for gaming, for photography, taking photos, for Snapchat, mm-hmm. for the social media stuff. I love that for that experience.
Yeah.
Almost so much so that really I only use the iPhone now for phone calls and texting. I would probably use a Android device entirely because I do like them. So
I've used Apple products in the past, and I switched over to Android, I want to say 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. Finally switched over to Android completely, and I love it. I don't look back. Android for me is better because it allows you to do more with your phone. You're not really locked into what Apple wants you, how your experience with your phone is. With Apple, you have to stay within the realm of how they want the phone to operate and how to look. With Android, you can customize all of it. There's a little bit of a learning curve on it if you come from Apple. It's a few minor things, but honestly, after a couple of days, you're like, "Oh, this is second nature now." So
now I do understand that it's going to have a little larger screen, like a 6 screen versus a 5.8 that you find like on the Active, the S8 Active.
I'm looking at it here. It says,
and more RAM.
It says that there's no improvements on the display over the Galaxy S8.
But the S8 Active, I guess it will. Okay.
Maybe. Because it does say it still has the 5.8 inch QHD Super AMOLED display with a resolution of 1440 by 2960.
Wow.
So it'll have a very nice display on it. But,
right.
Yeah. So it's actually, it says here, it's a screen ratio of 18.5 to 9, which with slightly slimmer bezels at the top and bottom to allow for the same screen size and a smaller body than the Galaxy S8.
You know, a lot of people ask too, when you have a device like this, can you add a card? Can you add a memory card? Although I think people need to get off of that. I think, with the internet now and with Google Photo and all of that, you really don't need that. However, some people like to carry an SD card in their phone.
Yeah. I mean, this one comes with 64 gigabytes of internal storage.
Right.
But same with my S7, it had 64 gigabytes, and I had to put a 32 gigabyte SD card in it because, I guess I don't need it. I'm using Google Photos to back up all my photos, sure, but I don't know. I started filling up things really quickly, putting movies on Plex and stuff on it.
Yeah. I just pulled this down 256 gigabytes of expandable memory.
Ah, okay.
So it does look like you will be able to add that SD card in there. Mini SD. So that's kind of cool. I like that. A lot of people like that feature, and Apple kind of just said, we're going to do our own thing because we think this is better and went off that. And it's still waterproof and dustproof. Mm-hmm. So again, that's water resistant and dustproof.
Water resistant.
Yeah, you got to be careful on that one. But either way, this should be available. You can pre-order it now this week, and then you'll be able to get it on the 16th if they don't, run out of demand.
I'm sure they probably will.
Yeah.
Now, there's one other thing that got released just very much recently.
Yeah.
So you remember back in the, no, not back in the day, really, but.
Remember, I'm old. So back in the day for me is, we're talking the 60s, buddy.
Yeah, we're not going back that far. No, it used to be called Android Pay.
Mm.
So you had Apple. Yeah. I think Android Pay was the first one to come out, and then they came out with Apple. Apple came out with Apple Pay. And then Samsung jumped on with Samsung Pay.
Yeah.
And Samsung Pay kind of seemed to kind of take off a little bit. Well, they Google also, they used to have the Google gosh, what was it? Was it
what was there? Google, it was Google Debit Pay, or wasn't it?
It was Google Pay or something. Yeah. No, that's the new thing now.
All right.
But no, there was another card. It was like a debit card, kind of like a PayPal debit card, but it was Google Wallet. That's
Google
what
Wallet.
It.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, but they stopped support for Google Wallet, which really I was upset with. So I ended up switching over to PayPal for a debit card. But now they've combined Android Pay and Google Wallet into now what they call Google Pay, and they released it on it. So it's right. Actually pretty good. I've actually tried to, I looked at it. I figured it out. I downloaded the app. Well, it's actually already on it, on your Android device. They just took away the name Android Pay and called it Google Pay.
Right.
And it's really good. You can add your cards. And if you've ever used a credit card that's been associated then with your Google account, like
right.
If you log in and stuff to your Google account and you have that card associated with it, it'll automatically add that card to the Google Pay system for you to use if you like.
Oh, nice.
What the best part about Google Pay is when you use it to pay with the Google Pay, and even though you're using your real debit card or your real credit card in it, it masks the actual card number, and instead it gives the merchant a, I don't want to say fake, but it's an alternate credit card number that will then go through the Google Pay system. And then it will charge your real card. So that way you can prevent fraud.
Oh, that's
because
nice.
You always your card is always given a randomized card number to merchants. So nobody will ever know what your real card number is. It's stored securely within the Google universe, if you will.
Yeah.
But you can add loyalty cards. So you can like your Lowe's, My Lowe's or Home Depot or your health insurance card. And you can also, again, add MasterCard, Visa. You can add your PayPal account to it. And it's all in one place. And just like Samsung
Pay. And secured.
And secure. Just like Samsung Pay, you know, where they had the big push with Samsung, whereas you could use Samsung Pay anywhere, even on card readers at merchants that didn't support NFC.
True.
You could still do it. It's crazy technology, but you would just take your phone and swipe it like next to the area that you would normally swipe your credit card. And sure enough, it worked. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And it actually works. So this operates the same way. So you don't need to go to merchants that have super specialized point of sale systems. Google Pay will work anywhere.
So all you have to do is go on to your Google account and you'll be able to set all of that up.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah,
cool.
Exactly.
I like that.
If you have an Android device, Android or Google Pay is already on your device.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back. We have our website of the week that's standing by. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. You can find us on Twitter. Send us a tweet at Tech Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
This is Danny Trejo, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. And you better keep listening or I'll come looking for you.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. Don't forget to leave us a review on our iTunes account. So go to iTunes. You can go to podcast and download. Have you seen all these podcasts that are coming out now?
No.
Everybody is doing. Dr. J's got one.
Oh, okay.
There's the Restaurant podcast, which, you know, they go to restaurants and they rant about them, which is cool. You can find a lot of the podcasts if you go to Twitter and do the hashtag Podern Family, Podern Family. And the thing is, more and more people are thinking, I want to do a podcast. I've had people say, gosh, you know, you've been in radio 30 years. I want to do radio, but I obviously can't now. So I want to do a podcast. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Just, you know, stop in your local guitar center or anywhere that you find audio equipment and yeah. they'll set you up with all the equipment that you need.
Absolutely.
So give that definitely a try. But yeah, leave us a review on iTunes. If you like the show, give us a star. If you don't like the show, please don't say anything.
Move along.
Put it on Yelp. They won't post it.
Yeah.
All right. You have a website of the week for us?
Yeah. This is a little site that I found here. It's just simply techbargains.com. You can go there and find deals that they scour pretty much across the entire internet and find some deals. Just I'm pulling it up right now. This is a really good one. Looks like there's a Dell wireless color laser multifunction printer.
Right.
That is selling right now at Staples for $120.
Wow.
On Amazon, it's $180. So you're getting a good deal by going to Staples and getting this. It's a, again, it's Dell wireless color laser multifunction printer. I'm actually in the market for a color laser printer, so I may pick this up. You can also find TVs. There's a...
Well, this is really a good... I'm looking at one right now. I'm on the site with you. Yep. Amazon Fire HDMI streaming stick, media player. Yep. They say $29. That's $10 cheaper than you're going to find it in retail.
Yep, and there's a lot of laptops up here that you can get for deals on. I mean, there's even this Razer electric street bike that normally retails for $330 is going for $127
oh my God.
Free shipping.
I just found the best deal on here.
What?
Rice Krispies treats, variety pack, 40 bars for only $6. I'm like, come on, I'm there.
You don't need Rice Krispies treats. Ancestry DNA, if you want to get the kit, you can save $30. It's $69 with free shipping instead of $100. The Essential Phone, which is actually by a company called Essential. Their phone around here is going for $449 instead of $699. So yeah, there's a lot of good savings you can find on here.
Yeah, I like it. Very good.
Techbargains.com.
All right, very cool. That's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. Feel free to drop us a note. You have a question for the show. Maybe a situation like Anna was going through earlier today. We'll be happy to talk about it. Maybe we come up with a solution for you.
Absolutely. Just drop us a line, send us a tweet, send us an email through the website, techtalkradio.com.
I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemming. We will see you next week. Good day.